Alex Pearce takes centre stage as an early red ruins Reading's chances against the Owls. But as the FA overturned the decision, where does this leave the club ahead of a trip to QPR? Elsewhere, who would you pick in your ultimate Reading team? Our three intrepid hosts take part in the first ever Tollest End Podcast Fantasy Draft. We cover all that, plus answer your tweets and emails in this week's Tollest End Podcast number 22. Right, welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're new this podcast, my name's Dan Wimbush, otherwise known as Wimb, and over the next hour we'll cover all things Reading Football Club with our regular co-host Mr. Alan West and Mr. Johnny Williams. Gents, hope you're both keeping your head above water in this spell of absolutely awful weather and flooding.
Oh, I like a good link that head above water. Yeah, I actually thought he was going to go into one of those puntastic ones I used to do.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it sounded a bit westy.
It was a bit, yeah, a bit upbeat.
Close. But no, seriously, in all seriousness, if you are struggling with the floods, hope this provides some sort of pleasant distraction from you.
I'm not sure it will, though.
Yeah, you've been on the train long enough that you've been able to hear the whole thing.
Across Berkshire, it's been horrible. So yeah, in all seriousness, thoughts go out to anyone who is dealing with that. But as I said, we hope to provide a distraction. One team that provided a bit of a negative distraction was Reading at the weekend. Let's get straight into it.
Can we wade through this one?
Oh, here we go.
And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We're here and done.
Pierce was out of his depth.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. It all starts. So, yeah.
Like a duck to water.
Reading 0, Sheffield Wednesday 2. As mentioned in the intro, Alex Pierce gets a red card after, 8-9 minutes? Mm. Gives away a penalty by bringing down a former Reading player, Benik Afobe. They score the resulting penalty and Reading huff and puff their way through the rest of the first half. Managed to have more possession than Sheffield Wednesday. But as it turns into the second half, they run out of steam and they score that second killer goal. 2-0 defeat, and it really has knocked that sense of momentum that was building up from the last few home games.
I think it's just one of those that you've got to write off and you've got to take the positives from. And the positive for me is that Sheffield Wednesday were the worst team I've ever seen playing 11 against 10. They were wasting time. As you said, we kept the ball pretty well. We actually had a few decent chances without having a shot on target. And you never really felt that we were out of the game until that second one went in, at which point all the heads went down and, you know, then we felt completely lost. I felt, anyway.
I felt that Reading probably should have been leading before Pierce got sent off. But as I said to you, Wim, before the show started, I thought that Sheffield Wednesday had a game plan to make sure they played the ball over the top of our centre-backs and try and make them turn. I've complained about them all year. They're too slow in a turn. If you put someone quick or a bit of movement, they're all at sea. Sorry for that one, all at sea, but they're all at sea. And Pierce, it was an accident waiting to happen. I didn't think he fouled him, to be honest. And I wasn't sure, clearly FA weren't sure it was a sending off either. But he got turned. He should have won it before it bounced and made it run past him. And it happened two or three times before that. So he only had himself to blame for getting sent off. And after that, I thought Reading battled hard. I thought they tried. They'd done all they could do in the first half. And the second half, they just ran out of steam.
Yeah, as you mentioned, penalty, quick straw poll then. Penalty for you, Westy?
No, I thought he dived.
Dive?
I thought it was a pen.
Penalty.
And at the time, I thought it was a sending off as well.
At the time, I thought both pen. I didn't think sending off at the time. I was very surprised. But when I first saw it back, I thought I can see why the ref sent him off. As for the dive part, well, when you see the other angles that Reading reveal this week, it's shocking from a phobe. And he doesn't need to do it.
And they should have scored.
Yeah.
He should have put a ball in the net, simple as that. I don't know why he jumped on the floor, but in the end, it won him the game because they scored the penalty. He was down to 10 men.
Yeah.
And like I said, the second half, we didn't really create a shot on goal.
And that's the key thing, because you say you should have scored, and the rule isn't last man. The rule is goal-scoring opportunity. Ultimately, if you deem it a goal-scoring opportunity and you deem it a penalty, it is a red card.
Yeah, well, I can see why the ref sent him off.
Is exactly it. And this is why, for those of you who haven't heard, Alex Pearce has had the decision overturned. He won't be suspended for the QPR game. The FA obviously deem it not a clear goal-scoring opportunity. But why I'm surprised is because you would have thought the FA would have backed the ref there. And if you do watch it back, you can understand why the ref sent him off.
Yeah.
The FA had every opportunity to back the ref, but they didn't. And that just, it's even more annoying to me that they overturned that.
Yeah. The thing that upset me.
I'm happy, but overturned. Yeah. At the same point.
Well, I don't know if I am, but yeah. the thing that upset it for me was the blatant time-wasting diving and just the killing the game as a spectacle for everybody. Sheffield Wednesday done after that. Again, it won on the game, so I suppose it worked for them, but it's not football in my opinion.
Well, as you mentioned, Reading had Sheffield Wednesday on the ropes early on. Adam Lafondre has a great chance to go around Kirkland. Credit to him, because he does well to get down low and snatch the ball away from his feet, but it's a big miss from someone who's been in deadly form recently. Yeah. And I can't have been the only one sat there saying to the bloke next to me, I really hope that doesn't come back to haunt us.
Yeah.
But not only that, again, a few minutes later, Pavel Pogrebniak bundles his way through. I think he gets clipped.
I thought it was a foul. I thought they both run into him and made no attempt to play the ball. Yeah.
So. One guy slides in from behind. I don't know if he makes contact, but he certainly causes Pog to move out of his stride. And another one, but shoulder barges him off the ball. I think that one's a bit fairer because that was just a bit of, you know, a bit of shoulder barging. Yeah. But certainly the first guy, you know, if there's a penalty at one end, should have been at the other.
But the thing is, you very, very rarely see when you get a shot on target or when you get an attempt on target for the ref to bring it back for the foul. I remember once, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, it happened to Steven Gerrard for Liverpool, first day of the season in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He got the shot off, keeper saved it, but he was fouled while he took the shot and the ref gave a pen. That's about the only time in the last 6 or 7 years I remember a ref actually bringing a shot on target back.
Yeah.
Because normally they think, oh, well, that was the advantage is gone. So I can, you know, I can understand the ref doing that because it's so rare for them to sort of give a double
advantage. That's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse at all, but it's a very rare occurrence.
That's
that
the one that sprung to my mind, actually, when you mentioned it. I thought that just Steven Gerrard one because it was so blatant, you know what I mean? But yeah, no, we had a lot of rubber green recently, to be fair to Reading, and hopefully that'll change pretty soon.
But they, for me, Westy, they don't seem to be getting the rubber green in the penalty area. I mean, no. We already had one apology from a ref this year when Chris Gunter's absolutely manhandled off the ball at Blackburn.
And that was a blatant penalty, and how could that not be given? And then this one is, you know, this week.
And what really infuriates me about referees is why the ref went for the nuclear option of sending him off. I don't think any Sheffield Wednesday player or manager would have complained if he'd produced a yellow card there and given him a penalty.
Yeah, to be fair to the ref, though, in real time, you can't always see what's
going
on.
Why did his head jump to, that's a red card?
He should have spoke to linesman anyway, I thought.
Yeah.
If you're going to send someone off, you should at least say to him, what do you think?
That early game, you've got to consult with all parties.
Yeah.
And I said, I sat there at the time and thought, I was shocked that the red card came out. I saw it again and thought, I can understand why. But as I said, to completely ruin the game like that, Will Mr. Hill have another game on Saturday with the FA basically publicly saying, well, you got that completely wrong?
Yeah, well, they've just put it down to a mistake of the fact that is when the ball's moving so quickly, you don't always see, you haven't had the opportunity to look at the replay and say, well, maybe you would have got there. I think that's all they can say. I don't think they'll even say much to him about it. He might just say, look, we thought you got it wrong. He'll probably say, okay, in real time, it looked a bit lot quicker and a lot closer than it really was.
Okay, well, as I said, Reading were down to 10 men for the rest of the game. And as I said, they fought hard with 10 men and did create, but while they were always in the game, they weren't creating much, were they? And this is my one problem. I can't fault the effort of the players. I thought they all gave everything, but did Nigel Adkins maybe get his tactics wrong? A lot of people have been saying, straightforward, yes.
Yeah. For me, you know, I can understand why he didn't want to bring off Pogrebniak or Lafondra. Obviously, Pogrebniak is, you know, the big man up front, and Lafondra's been in such good form recently, but you're never going to win against a team that was playing sort of five in midfield or packing that midfield and especially when we played three narrow in the middle as well, because in the end we had McCleary at right back, we brought back McEnough, so it was three in the middle. All they were doing was just spreading it out wide, and then they had two on one down the flanks, and they were just keeping the ball so well. You know, I thought we were well enough in the game that we should have just matched them 4-4-1. You know, if you put Lafondra on the flank or Pogrebniak on the flank, that's fine. If you bring off one of the strikers and put on a winger, at least have people playing in their natural positions. People say McCleary played well, but at the end of the day, you need him a position forward.
He's your biggest threat.
Exactly. Yeah, McCleary was. Yeah, he was out to defend a lot, and obviously that took our threat away down at wing. And I thought actually showed a little bit that he's still got the winger mentality in him, because the amount of times he tried to take someone on when he was the last man and lost it, I was beginning to worry about him. But again, he took them two out of the game really by making them defend. I understand what he tried to do, try to bypass the midfield and hit the front players. But if you're going to do that, you don't want Lafondra up there because he's not going to win a ball in the air.
Arguably, you don't even want Pogrebniak up there because he doesn't win.
No, didn't win a great deal. And I thought he might have put Robson Kanu on up front just because he's got a bit more about him with the ball. He's a bit bigger and stronger and he can create for himself. But in the end, I suppose you have to admire the fact that he was brave enough to keep two up and try and win the game.
This does seem to be a bit of an Adkins tactic, though. Keep as many attacking players as he can on. And, you know, while we have seen that it has worked, for instance, when we played Forest at home, we got that last minute, although that was from a free kick. I do think there has to be some degree of shape and, you know, I'd rather have players play in their natural position than just throwing on.
He basically almost abandoned the game when he brought on Guthrie later on, because Guthrie just slipped right back into his I want to say old form, but it's his new form, the sort of form we saw in the run-up to Christmas where he was just dropping deep, big gaps in the middle.
Another thing I noticed about him, and I've said this before, if you watch him, sometimes when he's running back, he just stops and lets players run past him. Yeah, Danny Guthrie, yeah. And I watched him this week, he does the exact same thing. Matty ran into the box, he didn't make an attempt to He let him have a shot, basically. He let him run past him and have a shot. And I don't, that's one thing I don't like about him. You've got to put in the effort no matter when you come on.
A lot of people, there's a thread on Hobnob, as there is every week, team predictions for QPR. A lot of people are putting Guthrie straight back in. Mm. I think a part of that is obviously people rate Danny Guthrie. Another part is Hope Akpan. I went to the game with Johnny and I said on the way back, I didn't think Hope Akpan had a very good game.
No, his passing was a bit off again.
Because he had longer distances to cover with the passes, yeah. And that's where he falls down. But Johnny, you were sticking up for him.
I was sticking up for him, and I think it's one of these things where Reading fans almost have to have someone to boo or get on the back of, because Akpan did a couple of good things. You know, like there were a couple of times when he ran past three or four men, or you know, he made a couple of decent challenges, etc. He put his foot in.
It was at least two occasions where he ran 20, 30, 40 yards to get back and defend.
But people forget about the good things that he did. And, you know, I mean, he made one horrendous pass which went straight out of play into the stand, and, you know, stuff like that. And straight away you're on his back. But it's sort of that mentality when you're looking for the bad in someone. You know, we had that to an extent with Nick Blackman, but he's sort of stepped up and he's won people round. And I think I'm worried that that's going to happen to Hope Akpan as well. Because I actually thought he didn't have a great game. He's certainly not man of the match by any field. But I don't think he had the worst game of anyone out there.
You can never knock his effort. I won't say that about him.
No, he's not as praised. He's like Mikael Leisurewood, isn't he?
He just can't pass. Yeah.
Well, we'll go on to talk about the team for QPR a little bit later on, because obviously this now gives Nigel Atkins a few selection problems. So we'll save it all for that for then. But just wrapping up this game, then a couple of things. Do you read too much into it, or do you just, as Joby McEnough came out in the Get Ready this week and said, it's just one of those days at the office and have to move on?
It was one of those days at the office. I just think they didn't get the rub of the green. Decisions went against them. Sheffield Wednesday ruined the game. We went down 10 men. So I think they done well in the first half, Reading, but second half, I think they just ran out of steam. So I wouldn't put down too much. I wouldn't put much down to it because it turned around, I'm sure.
I think you can definitely take heart from it. As you say, we only lost 2-0, and arguably, well, the first was a penalty. The second was a mistake from McCarthy, which is rare enough in itself. You know, they did have a couple of other decent chances. Perhaps they could have got another couple of goals. But as I said, until it was 2-0, I never really felt like we were out of the game. And you could sense, even at 2-0 to an extent, the crowd was still sticking around. And you'd have thought, you know, had we had absolutely no chance in the game at 75 minutes, most of them would be on the way home.
I can't say I'm taking any positives out of this, unfortunately, because Sheffield Wednesday were one of the worst teams. And they had riddled with injuries. And this is a game they should have been taking 3 points all day long. Unfortunately, whether you blame Pierce, whether you blame the ref, it's a combination of the two of them at the end of the day. We've messed it up. We've wasted a chance to get 3 points. And anyone who has lingering thoughts about this team getting automatic promotion, games like today show, unfortunately, why they're not quite going to do it.
Yep. They still concern me at the back that any ball over the top, making them two centre-backs turn, will give us problems if someone up front has got pace. And it changed in the second half when Gunter went centre-back because he can recover and they couldn't do it anymore. So they just kept the ball in midfield and killed the game. Simple as that.
Oh, well, right. So we'll have to move on then to QPR. But one more thing
before we go, actually. What I was going to say, it would have been interesting if Pierce would have suspended this week, what he'd have done with the team. Because he's had Hector put in the team recently. He's after a new contract. Yeah. I would have been surprised to see Hector start. I would have liked to see him start against QPR, but obviously not happening now. I'd like to see what he would have
hold
done.
Hold that thought, Mr. West, because we'll come on to the team for QPR shortly. But time for a new feature, innovating. First of all, weekly segment. This is Westie's champagne moment.
Right, my champagne moment was actually during half time. Right, now you know what I'm like when with people that sell out, and I see the biggest sellout ever at half time on the pitch.
Okay,
he picked up American football. I looked down. He looked like he'd been sleeping rough, and I thought, who is that on the pitch? It was our very own Johnny Williams.
Unbelievable.
That's what I thought.
He's pulled the curtain back.
He has pulled the curtain back. He's took a bribe. He's changed his attitude all of a sudden. He's been supporting the club, giving us the big one about how great they are. I think he sold out.
Johnny, how do you respond to these accusations that you are, in fact, a Reading FC spy planted into this podcast?
Well, I'd like to say that, the American football, I would like to say that I had something to do with the American consortium as well.
Here we go.
I'm a bit of a mole. I'm a sleeper agent.
I think he's been found out here. And that's why we're having the champagne moment this week.
Do I get any champagne for that?
Well, you asked the club. You seem to be well in there now.
Check out your email you get every week as well, guys. They send out a customer service type email to all every member saying, how did you enjoy the game?
Johnny's the pin-up now as well.
He is, indeed. So that is Westie's champagne moment of the week. If you've got a suggestion for the champagne moment for next week, it can occur at any point in the week, anything to do with the club.
Yeah.
If it's something you see, you know, a player today.
If you've got a mate, he sells out regular basis.
and appears on the pitch at half time. If it's a great bit of skill on the pitch, great goal, or an absolute howler that someone's had, please nominate them at the Tarlest End's our Twitter address. Right, time to move on to the eagerly anticipated Tarlest End Fantasy Draft.
The Tarlest End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlestend.com.
Right, welcome back to what is technically Pub Chat this week. As teased over the last couple of weeks, we're going to do our first ever Reading FC Fantasy Draft. Now, this is if you play any type of American fantasy sports, this concept will be known. Basically, it's like fantasy football, but if somebody takes a player, nobody else in the group can have it. So if I pick Kevin Doyle, Westy and Johnny cannot have him. So he's gone. He's off. And it doesn't matter if you think that they're the 11 most expensive players in the game. It doesn't matter. It's cost is irrelevant.
Mm.
How we're going to do this is we're going to do it in order. We drew lots to see who goes first. So I'm taking first pick. Then Westy will go. Then Johnny will go. Then it'll go back the other way round. So Johnny will have the fourth pick, Westy fifth, me sixth. Then I'll have the seventh, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, you better police this, because I'm sure it's a turn to shambles.
So we'll try and keep it as snappy as possible. We won't explain the picks as we go along. We'll sort of have a rough discussion at the end. But the whole idea is we're going to pick 14 players and then a manager at the end. Now, you can pick 9 strikers if you want, but then your team's going to be rubbish because you're not going to have anyone to defend. So you've got to have a rough sort of formation.
You're picking a side, basically.
Indeed, indeed. So, without further ado, we'll go for the very first pick. And my first pick in the fantasy draft is going to be Stephen Sidwell.
Oh.
So, Westy.
Glenn Little.
Glenn Little. Johnny.
I'm going Graham Murty. Oh,
damn. Graham Murty.
And I will also take
Nicky Shorey.
Here you go, he's got fullback locked up.
No, everyone's going to go for Shorey.
Yeah. Westy?
I will have Darius Dubček.
Nice.
Just because I'm still in love with him.
If anyone can spell that on their little draft sheet here, just I'll be impressed.
Just for Darius.
Right, I'm going to go for Simon Osborne. I think I've got my centre midfield locked up there. And just to completely stuff you all over the midfield, I'm going to have Gylfie Sigurdsson.
No.
Yeah, there we go. I'm locking him up.
I better pick a midfielder here if I ain't got any.
Westy?
I will pick... No, I'm not going to pick... I'm gonna, Michael Jilks.
Nice.
Left midfield.
Yeah. Johnny?
I'm going to go Phil Parkinson.
Bit of meat, bit of steel in the midfield.
Steel.
Yep. And I'll also go for Mick Gooding.
Oh, I was thinking about Gooding.
I like that. Westy?
I'm going to have Harper, I think.
The Crab. James Harper. Right. I better go for a striker, and I'm going to go for Kevin Doyle. And then I'm going to partner Mr. Doyle with Mr. Kitson.
Oh no, my team's awful already.
I've got very attacking heavy so far.
Right,
Westy.
I have AD Williams then, centre back.
AD Williams. Johnny.
I'm going to take. Let's have a look. Sonko.
Ibrahima Sonko.
And I'm going to take. Toughy. Shane Long.
Oh no.
That Gregor Raziak selection is looking mighty tempting. Now,
yeah, it actually is, yeah. Is it my pick, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, I have Nicky Forster then.
Nicky Forster. Right.
Pace.
Yeah, me. Right. I'm going to have to try and get a fullback, a couple of fullbacks in, I think. Or centre backs, in fact. I'm going to go for Eva Ingemarsson. And. I'm going to go for a left back. I'm going to go for Chris Armstrong.
This is my pick.
Uh-huh.
Dylan Kerr.
Nice.
I shall take...
On the clock.
Bobby Convey.
Okay.
And Jamie Cureton.
Jamie Cureton. Westy?
I'll have Trevor Senior.
Okay. Should have said at the very start of the draft here, we're picking players from 1990 onwards, if you haven't already guessed the theme here. So that's why there's no Robin Friday, etc. in these picks.
Plus, we've never seen him and we would just be...
Yeah, we would be doing pure guesswork. Right, I'm going to go for... I'm going to go for the first goalkeeper of the draft and I'm going to take Xhaka. Oh. Xhaka is my number one. And kind of need a midfielder here. I'm going to go Jimmy Kebbe.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
I'll have in goal Marcus Hanneman.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Linvoy Primus.
Ooh, Linvoy.
And I'll take... John Salako.
Ooh. Westy, your 10th pick.
I need a midfielder, don't I? Who have we got so far? Oh, this is tough.
Can't have Sidwell, can't have Gilfie. Osborne's gone. Parkinson's gone. Harper's gone.
Carajan.
Jem Carajan. If you had said that you'd be picking him 2 years ago on this podcast, I'd have been very surprised.
It was about the 8th pick.
I need another centre back. I'm gonna go for Zurab Kijanishvili.
Oh, nice one.
And as my 11th pick, I can't need a winger, but I'm struggling for wingers. I'm gonna have to go for. I'm gonna have to go for Stephen Hunt.
Oh,
it's a bit of bite.
Well, I need a right back, so I'm gonna have to have our current right back, Chris Gunter.
I'll take Alex McCarthy, and I'll take Brynjar Gunnarsson.
Oh, Bryn.
That gives you versatility there.
Tells a few stories as well, as we know.
Yeah,
3 years of telling stories.
It's good for the young players.
Right, I've got to pick a sub, yeah?
Well, this can be players to turn in the starting lineup as well.
Okay, right.
You've just got to basically round out your team.
Okay, I think I used to like Darren Caskey.
Darren Caskey. Right, I've got to pick two now. I'm going to go for a bit of a utility pick, Joby McEnough. And I still don't think I've got a right back. So, and it is a thin on the ground class, the right back.
Just because really how many world class players we've had down the years.
For how many right backs we've had in recent years. I'm not going to pick Sean Cummins. I'm going to have to go.
Chris Makin?
I'm going to go Andy.
You see Dana Cruz?
I'm going to go Andy Burnell.
Blimey.
There we go. That's my 13th pick. So 13 for you. So you've got two more, Wesley, basically.
I will have. I think you're just back to 90. Old stalwart, Martin Hicks.
Yeah, just comes in our...
The remit.
Yeah. Johnny, your final two picks.
Adam Lafondre.
Super sub. Yeah.
And
to finish your class.
Gold. Andre Bique.
Wow. Is that a left field? Right, Westy, your last one.
Martin Butler, is he gone?
Martin Butler's no, he's free.
That's of him then.
Anyone else do I want that's on my list? I've got to take him. Jason Roberts.
Oh yeah, didn't think about that.
Right, that concludes the draft stage. We're going to take a very brief break, which for you will be the space of a sting while we consider our team and our formations. We'll be right back.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/the Tarlhurst End.
Right, welcome back. You've missed not a lot there. Well, there were some fights, some drama, pens were thrown across the room.
Few we missed, we talked about.
Yeah, it all got very heated in here, but we've come up with our formations and our teams from it. So we'll go in the draft order that we went in. So I've got a team of Shaq Hislop in goal, a back four of Chris Armstrong, Zurab, Kishanishvili, Ivar Ingemarsson, Andy Bernal. Got a midfield four, Gilfy on the left, Osborne and Sidwell in the middle, and Jimmy Kebbe out on the right. And my front two are Doyle and Kitson. And my three subs, very attacking subs bench, of Jason Roberts, Noel Hunt, and Joby McEnough.
Ooh, you ain't going to shut up shop with them, are
you? No, no. So that is my starting 11. Westy, who have you gone for?
I've gone for Marcus Hanneman in goal, Gunter, right back, Dylan Kerr, left back, Dovcek and Williams, very much a 1990s theme to that back four. Karajan and Kaski. I think Karajan can do the dirty work while Kaski can do the not a lot of running that he used to do. Glenn Little, best right midfielder we ever had. And Jilksy, I reckon the best left-sided player we ever had. And then Senior, the goal scorer, with Nicky Forster buzzing around him. And on the bench, Hicks, Harper and Butler.
Johnny.
Got McCarthy in goal, England number 21, arguably should be in the squad. Three of the 2005-06 back four, Murty, Sonko, Shorey, with a Linvoy Primus in there as well. Parkinson and Gooding in the middle, two terriers in the middle, two tough tacklers. Convey and Sulaco, two sort of pacey, nippy wingers on the wings. And then Shane Long and Jamie Cureton up front. Cureton just a cult hero, and Shane Long doing it in the Premier League now. On the bench, two utility-ish players, Gunnarsson and Beaky, or BK, one of them completely mental, and Adam Lafondra, super sub as well.
I like it.
I like it. Yeah. I wouldn't have picked your left and right back, I must admit.
I struggled. A fullback, and let's talk about it then quickly. For you, what was most surprising? For me, it was how narrow that depth was at fullback. It got thin.
Yeah,
quick.
I was just saying, one person you could have put in at right back, because he played there quite a lot, was Mickey Gooding, if he would have put him in midfield, because he did play pretty well at right back. Other than that, you're struggling for a right back, aren't you?
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I heard someone going, boom, 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 let me say Swales at left back. But
Martin Booty and Andy Gurney both gutted they didn't make
the cut. Andy Hughes as well, could have made his mark at right back, but otherwise...
He'd been good for the bench, you stick him anywhere.
Yeah, well, he didn't play well anyway, so it didn't make the difference. So it was pretty tricky, left and right back especially.
Anyone that didn't come up in the draft that you suddenly thought afterwards, oh, why didn't I bring him up?
We said Jimmy Quinn, didn't we? We missed off. Jimmy Quinn. I definitely would have picked him.
But arguably, I think one of the best positions we've had in recent years is striker. Yeah. You look at no one's particularly unhappy with the strikers they took. Or
we don't know what for goalkeepers as well. I mean,
and I don't think, did anyone take Shane Long?
Yes.
You took Shane Long, yeah.
I said he could have had a couple of goalkeepers as well. Obviously, Steve Francis, when I was young, he's a good goalkeeper. Federici could have got in there.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of decent goalkeepers.
Yeah, and a left back as well. I know he wasn't great, but you had Ian Hart, I suppose.
Bridge, you could put in there, but Wayne that Bridge, would be based on his career elsewhere rather
some,
than it.
Some of the modern players didn't get in. Obviously, Gareth McCleary, Mikael Leisurewood, not making the grade.
Well, McCleary, who would you, if you was going to put McCleary in, who would you replace him with if you look at...
Well, I've gone Jimmy Kebbe for the time being.
Well, I've got Glenn Little.
Yeah.
You aren't going to take them two out of it, are you?
No.
Who do you have right side?
Sulaco.
Maybe. Well, there you go.
There's Scott, a spot. Scott Taylor as well, not getting a pick.
Yeah, Scott Taylor was on my shortlist, I must admit, but he wouldn't go above Little.
But no.
Another one, a little surprise about Alex Pearce, perhaps. Although.
After this week.
Yeah, exactly my point.
Really? He's picked the wrong week to get drafted.
Yeah.
I tell you what, as much as I hate to say this, I nearly had Matt Mills.
Why?
Because I think for one, it's one season when McDermott got him playing, I thought he got him playing quite all right.
3 months.
Ryan Bertram was another left back I was toying with, but I thought Chrissy Armstrong, for that one season, it's player of the season, his only proper season.
Good, actually, to be fair.
So that was about it. And obviously goalkeepers, we were all completely, as said, well covered.
Yeah.
No one took Marek Matijovski.
No.
No one took Emers Faye.
No.
Didn't get
mentioned.
It's funny though, you look at all the players that we've picked there, none of them have been amongst our most, possibly Kaski, but all of our generally expensive signings, the likes of Lita, Sol, Halford, Faye, all of them not really make. I said Matt Mills, none of them really making the grade. So it shows that money doesn't necessarily buy you a great side for Reading.
Greg Alford could have got right back. He played about 3 matches, didn't he?
Yeah,
really got rid of him.
If that.
Yeah, again, it shows a lack of depth really in some positions, but I'm pretty happy with my side. Yeah. I think it's decent.
Well, same. I'm happy too. But now it's up to you. You've heard our teams. They're going to go up on the website as well. It'll be probably a separate article to the podcast one. And there'll be a poll for you to vote on your ideal team. So who do you think is the better team / better squad between me, Westy and Johnny? Mm. You'll have all week to vote and we'll put up the results. But by all means, let us know if you're thinking, why didn't you draft this guy? Or why on earth did you take this guy so high?
I think it might be slightly unfortunate. I picked a lot of sort of older players that people might not have seen. I will say that.
Yeah, that's your excuse. That's your excuse for when you lose the poll. He's getting an excuse in early, folks.
Yeah, I am chucking a few out there.
But yeah, as I said, hope you enjoyed that. That is, we'll try and we maybe do it again. Maybe we'll try and do it with, I think it'd be interesting if we did it with a few more people, like the Christmas special or something, if we had like even less players to pick from.
Managers.
Managers, indeed. Okay, well, if we were going in order, I would have gone, I'd have gone Steve Coppell.
Mark McGee. Yeah.
You'd have gone McGee.
I'd probably take... Oh. As soon as I've got Gooding in my team, I'll take the team of Gooding and Quinn.
That's two. It's cheating. Yeah. Jim and Mick.
That's how he's got Quinn in there, because he can get him off the bench now. So,
it's an extra mate.
Like it. Like it. Right, so that wraps up Pub Chat this week. Let's move on to Any Other Business.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. Any Other Business.
Right, welcome back to Any Other Business. We're mixing up the order of the show today. So we haven't got any Charles this week. Not a lot of news around, and also we thought better keep him free. He's had a pretty traumatic week with Arsenal getting thumped by Liverpool, so we're not sure he was in the right state of mind to come on tonight's show.
We're about to take his shoelaces off him and stuff, so.
Indeed. Indeed. But no, in all seriousness, we'll speak to Charles next week to catch up with all the latest news around the club. I said there wasn't an awful lot, I said, other than the Pierce thing. So gave him the week off, chance to recharge the batteries, and we'll catch up with him next week. As I said, still to come, your emails, but for now, a few other bits and bobs. Starting, as I said earlier, with got a look ahead to QPR, live on the telly on Sunday. Ready for QPR, you don't see that on the telly very often.
Not every year.
You don't see QPR on the telly very often either. They're on Monday night.
Yeah. Exactly. Everybody's favourite media darling, Harry Redknapp, guiding QPR's very expensively assembled squad, seemingly back to the Premier League. I mean, I know they lost to Derby this week, but they're going great guns. They've obviously signed Kevin Doyle, who scored on his debut, and they've got...
That was a surprise, I must admit. I wouldn't expect to see Doyle turn up there. Well, I think his career was going backwards, to be fair.
With Charlie Austin completely, you know, injured for a while, they were desperate for strikers. Obviously, they've got a load of crocked players, Zamora, Johnson, and like, so... Mm. But it shows the difference, doesn't it? Reading lose a player like Jason Roberts, they can't go out and replace him. QPR lose Charlie Austin, they go and grab Kevin Doyle.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing we said about Billy Sharp, and you'd have expected that if the money was there, he would have come back here rather than going to Doncaster. So, you know, clearly the money wasn't there, you know... For all we can talk about the transfer window, there wasn't any speculation. There wasn't any this player might be coming here. And normally you get a few rumours around that, you know, you're going to get players in. But there was absolutely nothing this year.
Yeah, it was clear we had no money.
Yeah. But as I said, I mean, QPR squad depth's frightening. As I said, they got players like Joe Barton. You know, they got Richard Dunn in the back. They can afford to have a Brazilian goalkeeper and not even get anywhere near their side. Mm. Admittedly, that's because Rob Green's playing. Who generally is favourable to Reading.
He's pretty good to us normally.
But yeah, it's a frightening league. Good squad for this league, and one that should. I've said all season, I can't see any reason why they shouldn't win the league. It looks like Leicester have got a march on them now, but I still very much fancy them for second. And Reading are going to find it very difficult on Sunday.
Yeah, but they've not been brilliant, I think, all season. They've not dished out too many hammerings, have they? Right. They do tend to scrape wins rather than go out and annihilate teams. And they don't score a great deal of goals from what I've seen.
No.
So, I think when we played them at home, I thought they had 10-15 minutes where it looked much better than us. Then Reading got a foothold in the game. I can see us, I'll be happy with a draw up there, to be fair, after Sheffield Wednesday beating us. But it will be tricky. They've got some good players and we just got to stop them scoring. I don't think we can.
If Reading draw or lose this game, is that officially, for you, the end of the automatic promotion?
I don't think we'd get anywhere near automatic promotion anyway.
So you're saying it's over now?
I don't think we're good enough.
I don't think. Yeah, I think it's over now. I mean, consistency is what we want. And, you know, we say we beat teams 5-1 and 7-1 as well. But, you know, we lost 2-0 at Ipswich around that time as well. We don't have the consistency. We don't necessarily have the confidence of going up to places and getting wins like we did, you know, 6 years ago, arguably 2 years ago. You know, it's the consistency of what you need. And at this stage, we need to be winning 2 games in 3, 3 games in 4. And I don't think we've got the squad or the mental strength to do that.
Also worried it really might be sort of one big injury from slipping out of the playoffs, you know what I mean? Well Grebnet was to get injured. There's no real... No one on the bench is pushing for a place at the moment, as far as I'm concerned.
No, and as I said, you know, I said at the top of the show, the Sheffield Wednesday game shows why I don't think Reading are going to be a challenger. But mathematically speaking, if they lose this game to QPR, then they are
still sit
for they're going to be 12 points behind, arguably, with QPR having a game in hand and possibly Burnley having a game in hand. So they could be 15 points with, you know, 16 games. Well, no, 15 games to go. That's too much for them. To climb back. So they've got to win. If they've got any, they want to retain any hope of getting that top two, they've got to go there and win.
And on their day, they're capable, Reading. It's just what Reading turn up. Yeah. But I think they've been playing well and they're working hard for one another, so there's no reason they can't get some out of the game. But I just don't think the top two places are beyond us already, to be honest.
You talked about the team earlier. You said you were slight, I don't know, disappointed is the right word, that Alex Pearce got his suspension overturned because you wanted to see whether he'd put Hector in.
Yeah, I just thought we'd give him a decision to make because we've talked about Hector and he's given a few little run-outs when games have been comfortably won. And he's been talking about giving him a new contract. There's been a lot of speculation that they want to re-sign him. It'd been interesting to see what he'd done if Pearce wasn't playing and Hector was only the only centre-back that was sat on the bench on Saturday. I think he'd have put Kelly in and put Gunter in at centre-back, which I think would have been a kick in the face to him. So it'd been interesting to see what he would have done.
It's sort of devil you know rather than devil you don't at this stage.
I think that's what he would have done.
We haven't seen enough of Hector at the championship level. For all we say, you know, he did well for Aberdeen in the SPL and that's a decent standard of league. You go with what you know rather than what you don't. And Gunter never particularly looked, you know, he's not ideal to have at centre-back, but Benavides is not ideal to have at left-back. You know, you'd prefer to have him on the wing. I think at this stage, you go with what you've seen. Gunter didn't underperform at centre-back. He's done all right, and I think that's what he would have done.
I think, to be fair, Atkins has got a record at Southampton of giving players like Luke Shaw a game when they're young. I can't... And the fact he's been bringing Hector on off the bench...
But you don't do that away to QPR.
Why not? If they throw Sean Morrison in the Premier League...
Why not,
They threw Alex Pearce in the, you know, the Championship...
It had just been interesting. It had been a big decision because whatever he'd done, if you put Kelly out the side, Kelly would have thinking, well, I'll get a game at right back now. If he'd have not picked him and he'd have put Hector at centre back, or the other way around, both players thinking, where's my future at this club?
It could well be a last chance loan for both those centre backs though as well, because if they get a bit, if they get beaten, especially Pearce, if Pearce has a, because let's not forget, before Pearce, as you mentioned, before Pearce got sent off, he was having a torrid time.
He was dripping.
And it's not the first game either. If you look at the Blackburn game, not Blackburn, Bolton game. You know,
he didn't have a good game against Bolton.
No.
Any game, any ball in behind Pearce and Gorks to a certain extent, they struggle with. And that's what teams will do.
He did perfectly well when it was at Millwall. And obviously it was all through the air.
Great, both perfect. Of them. Good in the air.
And he's got a lot of potential. But Michael Hector is really knocking on that door. And I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be stunned to see Hector just go into that team anyway. As if he might have been preparing the team first couple of days this week. Saying, you know what, Michael, you've been knocking on the door. Let's see what you can do. I don't think it's going to happen, but I could see it happening. The only other real selection thing for me is he going to bring Guthrie back?
I think he will. I think he will. I wouldn't, but I think he will.
Johnny,
I'm agreed with that. I think you've got to put that result aside and say before that we were playing all right. We may have lost up at Ipswich, but you look at the other results we had. Decent wins.
So you think he's still that good plan?
I hope he sticks with Akpan. I think he'll go with Guthrie.
I think Akpan give him enough ammunition to drop him on Saturday. Not because he played particularly badly, that he put a few loose balls in. And I think they think, well, I want someone to come and keep the ball. But I'm not sure Guthrie does.
I think he'll stick with Akpan just because it's away from home. And I think he'll want that bit of solidity.
He might even go one up front.
Possibly. He might put Hector in midfield. He played midfielder.
No, he did, yeah. And he played fullback. So he definitely gives you options. But said it's the first time for a few weeks now that he's got license to change that side, and it'll be very interesting to see what he does. So, score predictions?
My head says we get beat, but my heart says we get a draw 1-1.
1-1.
I'm going to go 2-1 QPR.
I'm going to go 1-1 as well. Okay. Just sitting on the fence. So, a couple of 1-1s, and Johnny's gone for a 2-1. So, none of us are predicting a win. So, there you go. We were all wrong last week.
Yeah, that's
like
we're right.
Our psychology.
Yeah, it's good.
Right, so that just about wraps up any other business. There's only one bit of business in the end. But let's move on to your tweets and emails.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter.
At the Tarlhurst End.
And facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.
Right, thank you to all of those of you who've got in touch with us over the past week. You've just heard the contact details. Obviously, the Twitter address is at the Tarlhurst End. It's facebook.com/thetarlhurstend. And if you want to send us an email, it's thetarlhurstend@gmail.com. As well as that, we've got threads on the Roars Rendezvous and Hobnob Anybody. And I'd actually ask as well for you guys, we've been doing the show now for 22 episodes, our 22nd episode. We'll be delighted to have your feedback. If there's bits of the podcast you like, you don't like, just send us an email. You can stay anonymous if you choose. You know, you can just say, I prefer this not to be read out. But we'll honestly take on any criticism. Westy won't come around your house.
No, don't worry.
But yeah, no, seriously, if there's feature ideas you like, one thing we do get asked quite a lot is for more ex-player interviews. We're trying to work on it best we can, but it's sometimes tricky to...
Well, wait there. We got John Alls for him. What more
do they
want?
We did get John Alls.
Got one of the legends. Oh, suppose he didn't make the draft, to be fair.
No, he didn't. To be fair, you probably would have been a better option than Andy Bernal in my team.
Mm, yeah, I think he would
have. But yeah, no, so if you've got any comments about that, about the show generally, rather than just something to be read out, please send them in. But otherwise, for those of you who have sent in tweets and stuff this week, thank you very much. We've had a couple of... Last week, we talked about in pub chats the most entertaining games Reading have been in. Few people have suggested a couple. Start with Tom Hewlin, who says Forest 3, Reading 4 in 2011. Hearts free kick, Carachan's header from outside the area, Kebe, and then Church were the winner. That was a great day.
Mm-hmm. That was good, yeah.
And was 3-2 down in injury time, and we won that one.
I cannot remember how the score went, but it was ding dong.
We've had a few like
Forest,
in the
7th minute of injury time or something. Was that game?
That wasn't that Carachan at Burnley.
Yeah, that was Burnley. Yeah.
But
yeah,
few games out of the Forest, don't we? Four threes, four twos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Doncaster always used to seem to be high-scoring affairs as well. So yeah, thanks for that one, Tom. Another one, and I can't believe we missed this one, guys. Chris Barnum says, the most exciting Reading FC game? How did you forget Reading 3, Middlesbrough 2, the first Premier League game?
That is a good point. I can't believe you missed that.
Yeah.
But that game was amazing because the fact that...
It's almost on a level on its own, isn't it?
It was such a baptism of fire, and I thought, oh my God, this is a completely different level because Middlesbrough...
I was up at university. I was at a university in the Northwest in Lancaster, and I couldn't get back because I was working. So I had to listen to this game on the radio, and I was like, oh, I've gone 2-0 down. I was like, oh, great. This Premier League last, it's going to be a long old season. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the goal just went in.
Well, it's amazing because the players were looking at each other when the second goal in, thinking, oh my God, this is a different level completely to what we've been playing the last couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden it just clicked and they
battled. It was a Shorey run, wasn't it? Shorey goes past a couple and suddenly it's like, actually, we belong here.
Yeah, Shorey was amazing that year, actually.
And I remember it was on match choice, like the full game. And I was like, as soon as I got back from work, I was like...
First game on Match of the Day as well.
Yeah,
first ever game in the Premier League, first game on Match of the Day.
And again, as we said last week, it's games like that. Exactly the reason you go to football.
Yep,
you don't know what's going to happen. So thanks, guys, for suggesting those. Keep coming in. As I said, just because we've talked about another week doesn't mean you can't suggest them. So, keep them coming in. Right, on to a few thoughts from the Sheffield Wednesday game. Nick Beckett says, should Afobe not have been given a retrospective yellow card for simulation after today's verdict?
Depends what he's overturned it for.
They don't really give retrospective bookings, do they?
No.
And I think it was a penalty. There was contact, whether it was deliberate or not.
Yeah, but I say it depends what they've overturned it for. If they overturned it because it wasn't a goal scoring opportunity, then it's...
No, that's rubbish because it was.
Yeah, but that's, wow. that's what they've overturned it for. Then you can't give him anything for it because they're saying he was fouled, but...
It wasn't. It was a bit of it was a horrendous dive though, wasn't it?
Doesn't show
him in the best light, Benic. Better than that. You're better than that, Benic. You're better than that.
Well, he wasn't going to play for us, was he?
He didn't play for us, did he?
About three games, didn't he?
Yeah.
Memorable cameo away at West Ham. He played. Joe Stevenson, regular contributor to the show, who writes so often. We were debating on Twitter whether to give him his own segment.
Yeah.
Name the email segment after him.
Why not?
The Joe Stevenson email section. Anyway, Joe Stevenson says, he was very surprised at the red card getting overturned. Didn't think he should have tugged his shirt. It could be a negative if Pierce plays anything like he did in the first 10 minutes when he plays QPR. And that's what we've just said.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with it completely because he looks ploddy, even more ploddy than usual. It's nothing I hadn't said before.
QPR don't particularly have... You wouldn't classify Doyle as a pacey.
No, he's more power and guile.
And so is Maiga as well. Not particularly, sort of sprint past your player.
Yeah, they should do all right. And Joe steps up his campaign to have a segment named after him by saying, week after week, I'm finding myself agreeing with everything Westy says. Is this healthy or should I call the doctors?
No, I think it's spot on, Joe. Well done, mate.
Yeah. Your cheque is in the post.
Yeah. Another sellout. Two on the show this week.
Jeff Witt wasn't happy that Alex Pearce got his red card overturned. He says, great, we have to have that clown play at QPR now. A little bit harsh.
Is it?
But as I said, while he phrased it in what I'd say is a little bit harsh of a manner, he wasn't alone. And a lot of Reading fans, I was surprised at how many Reading fans were having a moan that they've got another player available.
He's gone from hero to zero. He scored away at Millwall last week.
I think Alex Pearce is one of those players that goes from hero to zero to hero to zero to hero.
Again, Alex Pearce, you can't ever knock his intent and the fact that he tries. He does, and he's got Reading at heart. I'm sure he has, but I don't rate him. I haven't. We had this debate at the start of the season when me and you had a row about it, and I said he wasn't that good, and I still don't rate him now. He's too slow.
I've still got the faith with him, but I can understand where people come from. Jamie Hodder says, I thought it was a red at the time. Still think he was stupid to do it. Very slow off the mark. Let's hope he sorts out for Sunday. Alex says, are you in any way disappointed Pierce's red was rescinded? It denies Hector a chance in the team. Thoughts. So on those two things.
Well, we spoke about it anyway. Yeah. I think he had a difficult decision.
Would like to see Hector in the team this week. And as I said, I kind of hope he still goes through it.
I'd like to see Hector in the team, but probably not this week. That's my...
Well, I think if they keep Hector here, you won't have Gorks here next year, I wouldn't have thought so. He probably will be in the team. Mm.
If he gets a new contract and doesn't decide to go.
Might have neither of them next year.
Mm. Who knows? Right, thanks.
Bit of good news.
He's a really nice guy. Leave him alone.
There's no time for nice guys in football. We're not here to like them. We're here to watch them win matches.
Shoot it from the hip. Lord Treby, regular to the former podcast.
Lovely bloke he is as well. Very nice bloke.
Yep. This is a fantastic packed podcast last week, guys. Nice to have a long and positive show. It would be good to get more ex-players on. So
back to normal this week with the negatives.
Yeah, it's crept in again.
We're working on it. We'll do our very best to get some ex-players on.
I think we was relatively positive today. We was all right.
Yeah.
Relatively.
We just picked our best ever Reading teams.
We did.
And next week's fantasy draft, the worst ever Reading.
Your mission to pick the worst team possible.
Well, I'm going to have
your right back.
Poor Skippy.
Nah, he's all right.
Poor Skippy. He got us to Wembley.
Mm. He also got into other problems.
No. Anyway.
Wait, what are you on
no,
about?
No mention of that. Right. And a couple of other general things. The Malta Royals Trust. Just ask for a bit of a shout out. If you're in Malta, follow them on Twitter. They're at Malta Royals Trust.
They've been going quite well as well.
Yeah, they have been, yeah. Mm. So, at all one word, Malta Royals Trust, with no T on the end. Mm. They're holding a bit of a get-together on the island for the QPR game. Oh, so, yeah. If you happen to be there on holiday or you're listening in Malta, head on down. Chance to watch the game, some of the rules.
Interesting fact, I think that's where Dylan Kerr was born, isn't
it? He was.
There you go.
Yeah, he was.
Good link.
Indeed. And Anthony Kendrick also has comments on last week's show. He says, spot on with the PR/takeover debate over the last few weeks. Good work, boys. Thank you very much, Anthony. And Mark Sugar, responding to an article we've had up on the website this week. Bit of news. Reading, at the moment, are 20th out of the 24 championship teams in terms of away following. Surprise you?
No, not really.
No?
No. I don't think it surprises me particularly.
It doesn't surprise me particularly. I mean, to be fair to us, we haven't had too many London games.
No, we have had a lot of the away, like we've been to Burnley, we've been to Middlesbrough.
Mm. And you'd expect that those games, you know, we haven't played QPR away, which is coming out this week. Have we gone to Watford?
Yes, we won. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've still got Brighton, Bournemouth.
Yeah. You know, there's a few more trips sort of around the South Coast and around London that we haven't yet done, which I think you'll get a lot more fans too.
I wonder if there's a link between way travelling and unemployment levels at certain towns. Just out of interest. That's a bit left field. But
in terms of the more unemployed, the more go to
games. Yeah, exactly. More unemployed, more go to games.
I don't know. I just think Reading have just never been massive away travellers. I think Reading have got... If you actually broke down the Reading crowd, you've got a lot of... I don't want to call them plastics. I think that's being unfair of them. But you've got a lot of...
But then you sort of did call them plastics by saying that's unfair to them.
You've got a lot of newer fans and more casual fans that have just slowly got into the habit of going... Well, they're not the hardcore... Going around the country, live, breathe, and die for Reading Football Club. They'll support the club, but they're not, you know, they're not going to fork over 100 odd quid to get away. Mm. Reading have always had a loyal band, and for bigger away games in like the South, they will take a few. But
yeah.
Reading would never have taken how many 2,000 odd Sheffield Wednesday fans came down on Saturday.
That quite amazed me actually, to be honest.
Yeah,
how many fans they had,
and they were in good voice.
Mm. Yeah, no, they were well supported. There's a few clubs that are. Do have a lot of fans all over, but the thing is, like clubs like Leeds and that, they've got massive followings anyhow. So, yeah. And they always will have just historically because they've been a big club in the past.
Mm.
Sheffield Wednesday as well, they had Premier Leaguers in there for quite a long time, haven't they? And they're another big city. Yeah. Reading, really, sometimes you just look at us and we think we're a lot bigger than we are. I think we've still got that little small town club mentality sometimes. And at home, you probably, if Reading was struggling, I reckon you'd probably get a core of what, 10 to 12,000?
Wow, yeah, when they first came up to Div 1, they were only still getting 13, 14.
I think it slipped back to that if Reading started struggling. First down the bottom of the championship, win the next.
People say, oh, you know, ruddy plastics, whatever. But I've got no problem with them. They come through the gate. They generally support the team. No problem whatsoever. And when we've gone to Wembley and places like that, we've taken loads, and they're good for the long term future of the football club. Mm. But as I said, unfortunately, they're not the type that are going to go away from home and travel up to Wigan.
We've had this debate before, though, because if you go to a lot of Reading matches, a lot of people who go to watch Reading are there to watch a football match. They don't really care that it's Reading. It just happened to be they was about and they come and watch a game. It's not like it used to be, and I think football's courted that, and that's why you've got the fact that you don't get a lot of way travelling anymore.
Mm. As you know, going back to the point of us doing well, first season in the Premiership, you know, they were doing away season tickets, you sell out every game, and you think towards the end of our last season in the Championship when we took however many to West Ham, however many Southampton to Brighton. Yeah. It's all about the team doing well, and you know, right now we're doing arguably the worst we have in 6 or 7 years. Yeah, I think that sort of reflects.
And it only takes a couple of big 2,500, 3,000 away followings to jack the number up. So
not only that, it's the price of football as well. Because like a lot of young lads. I mean, when I was 17, 18, I used to go a lot.
Hmm.
But now, sort of the age group of fans is a lot older, and a lot of older fans don't travel. They just come to home games.
And it's the cost as well. I mean, this is probably a debate we could have for pub chat and maybe chat to John Keane from the Football Supporters Federation about the cost of away games and the way that they're trying to lower that. Because it's prohibitive a lot of the time, unless you've got a big group, you're going in the car or whatever. It's asking a lot on the trains and whatnot. But anyway, sorry, Mark Sugar sent in the tweet in response to that away day news article that Simeon put up, saying, as someone who went from doing almost every away game for the last 15 years to managing just two this season, I haven't missed it.
No.
And sadly, again, that's something that you have noticed if you do read through Hobnob and the Royals Rendezvous. There are a lot of fans now, the hardcore, that even for them it's just, you know, paying £35 to go to Ipswich, it's just
Economic forces, an expensive game nowadays.
And when we're getting to the stage now where it's the same stadiums year in, year out now. We have been at this level and above for 10-12 years.
Not only that, we've been in the Premier League, you know what I mean? You get used to going to sort of Man United, Liverpool when it's all exciting to start with, and we probably took massive first season in the Premier League. I mean, I went to a lot of the bigger games and I'm sure a lot of people did. But when the second year comes, you've already been and people think, wow, I can't bother to go all the way out there. And then you're struggling in the league and getting hammered every week. No one wants to go and watch it, don't they?
Yeah. Still, if you do get
should be loud, but that's the way it is.
But anyway, that wraps up all the tweets and emails. As I said, get us on Twitter at the Tilehurst End. Email is thetilehurstend@gmail.com. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/Tilehurst End. If you've got a suggestion for topics for pub chat or anything, or as I said, comments on the podcast, on the website, whatever, please send them in, guys. This is, as the logo says, it's your show. It's by fans, for fans. So the more, the merrier in that case. Right. So just a few last little bits and bobs before we go. First of all, website, as I just said, there's lots on it today. First of all, like to congratulate, we appointed 3 new members of staff. Not that we pay anyone, yeah. But we've got 3 new assistant editors or editorial assistants on our team.
3 transfers.
We have. So congratulations to Mark, Steve and Simeon. They post as Bucks Royal, Raw Hoops and at that Mark Mayo. They're basically below me and Johnny. I don't want to say minions because they're not minions.
The pecking order.
No, but no, in all seriousness, they will be helping to man our new news desk. So you may have noticed over the last week, there's a few more sort of newsy type articles going up sort of nearer to as it happens. So hopefully going to keep that updated. There's also a few more bits and pieces going up. Matt's done a really nice piece on the Reading's women's team who are getting ready to compete in the second tier of English women's football. So nice to see them doing well. And if you've ever been curious about, you know, where they play and bits and pieces like that, you can go check that out.
I did a disco for them once.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Very good.
Nice.
Cheesy disco. It was just right on my street, it was.
Nice. DJ Westy.
There's no joke there.
DJ Westy.
Anyway,
awkward silence there. Oh, dear.
Lovely.
Anyway, another bits and pieces on site. There's a nice little debate on the future of Jordan Obita. Mm. Where would you play him? Left back or left midfield? And by the time this goes up, hopefully, Johnny, we'll have a winner for Player of the Month.
Yes, indeed. And it was looking pretty tight last time we looked, between Danny Williams and LaFondre.
Yeah, LaFondre was just edging it. Obviously, congratulations to Adam LaFondre, who was the Championship Player of the Month. Mm. But this one's more important.
Yeah, this is what it's all about.
Forget being handed out an award by the Football League. This is what
who recognises that?
Indeed, this is the Oscars to the Golden Globes.
You know you've made it when you make it into one of our dream teams. That's exactly. That is the golden standard.
That is it.
Exactly that. So, yeah, and if you want to see Alfie... Well, unfortunately, by the time you hear this, it might be closed. You might still have a few hours to go, but we'll pop up the results on the website as soon as possible. Right, as I said, that's us done for this week. Nice and early. A day early. So you've got an extra day in the week to listen to this. If you want to keep listening over and over again, as we encourage you all to do, tell your friends to download.
Yeah. Maybe you won't believe it the first time.
You don't even have to listen. You don't even have to listen, guys. Just download. It all counts in our stats.
Even if you wanted to play along with a draft, you could take one of us out and then put your own pick in. You know what I mean? So you could say, right, I'm going to be West Ham, I'm having his pick. So whatever I pick, forget it. And you can pick your own. Play along at home. It's all interactive.
Why not? Exactly. Do your own draft.
It's the future podcaster.
It is, indeed. We should be back sort of regular, probably Wednesday night slot. We'll have to keep you updated across Twitter and whatnot next week. But meanwhile, here's to 3 points at QPR, and thank you very much for listening, guys. See you later.